Mr. Ballard's Reel 13. We were talking about when you were getting ready to go out to Korea in 1949 with the 8th Hussars, and you mentioned you got these new Centurions and a bit about their basic features. What were the roles of the crew? You were again a tank commander, and what about everybody else? And what were the differences or similarities between these tanks and the ones you'd served in the Second World War, like the Comet and this?
The roles of the crew were very much the same, five-man crew. The tank, in many respects, was similar, but superior. It had better armament, better speed, more reliable. I was a commander, and the job was the same as in any other tank. And in the turret was the gunner. With a much superior array of gunnery equipment control.
What machine gun did they have? As you said, it was a 76mm gun, an improved one. What machine gun did they have?
Beezer. Beezer, what was it? 5.62. And in the front, we had the driver and the second driver, or co-driver, as he was called. With another Beezer in the front.
And the driver, was it the same controls?
Yes, two sticks, tillers. One of the differences was that the commander could also lay the gun and sight it. It could, if he wished, override the gunner. That was the controls on the commander's cupola. But otherwise, basically, it was the same as the Comet, but better.
Now, why would a commander want to do that? Under what circumstances?
Well, if the gunner couldn't pick up the target, see, if it was in the commander with his head out at the top, may have seen, for instance, something far from a wood, and would see know exactly where it was. Try and put the gunner on, unless the thing fired again, it's very difficult, and so he couldn't lay the gun himself. It was a great effort.
And what about the wireless operator? And would he be loader as well again?
Yes, exactly the same as all the previous.
What about ammunition storage arrangements?
Well, I forget the quantities, but there was adequate amount, and pretty available, as available as it could be inside the tank. You had some in the turret and the rest in the hull, which tried to keep some ready in the turret all the time.
And would they have the wireless arrangements and intercom?
Yes, all exactly the same.
So with the same sets or improved?
Same sets, yes. But the same sets, but in turn they were slightly improved.
Now, do you remember the names of your crew at the time?
Offhand at this very moment, let me think. Obini was the operator.
Beanie.
Obini, O-B-E-N-E-Y. The driver. Gray, who was later killed. And at this moment, I can't recall.
Okay. Well, they're a good crew.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Now, what preparations were made for going out to Korea? Other than getting used to these tanks, I presume.
The biggest preparation was when we were warned off to go. We had quite a lot of national servicemen in the military. And I think it was that any under 20 years old were not to go. So we had a great sort out, and all those under 20, if it was 20, was about that, had to be posted away. And we had to have new intakes, mostly of reservists who'd been in the Second World War. And regular soldiers on reserve, and of course called up and brought us up to have all established.
Now, how did they react, these reservists being called back, and were they up to speed?
Well, how did they? Weren't happy to be back, but they had committed themselves to it, and so it had to be done. And they suffered around 99% of them.
Did they take a while to get up to speed, you know, to get used to life again?
Well, no, not really. Yeah. Very short time. I think it's like riding a bicycle once you've done it, you can always do it.
And what about national servicemen? What the ones you did take with you, what did you think of national servicemen and their abilities or?
They were very good chaps. The pity was that they didn't stay with us long enough, because the time you got them trained up, and they were then demobilised. I think at the time it was 18 months, so they spent 6 months at the training regiment. And it probably took another 6 months until they really fitted into the regiment, and then they were thinking about going out, and so the process went on.
So you'd have 6 months of them being trained, yes. Which the last couple of months,
that's right.
They weren't that bothered.
No.
And how did they feel about going, the ones that went, feel about going to Korea? Was there any?
I think they felt they were unlucky. But nevertheless, it was a great adventure, a central adventure. I'm sure that although they probably felt unlucky, they were quite happy in the way to go.
How did you feel? I mean, you'd been through this all once before.
Well, it didn't worry me. Funny enough, at that stage, I felt confident that we'd be all right. We didn't know much about Korea, hardly knew where it was. And didn't really expect to be in any great battles and go out there and win.
Did they give you a briefing about what was happening in Korea at all?
Yes, I'm sure. The Royal Army Education Corps, we had a warrant officer attached to us, and he would give lectures on it. But we were, of course, very busy training. Fitting in the new careers and reservists and so on, and then going on to embarkation leave, putting the tanks onto ships.
Now, what about, was there any special inoculations, vaccinations,
yes.
or medical precautions taken?
Yes, we had numerous inoculations. I can't remember what they were for.
Did they have an effect, an adverse effect on you?
Slight. Some people more than others. Occasionally somebody would faint as a needle was stuck in. But they usually had a sore arm for a day or two. But not to incapacitate you. They really had them.
Any tropical kit or a special kit issued?
No, because it was October, November that we're talking.
49.
Yes. And so it was at the back end of autumn. So there we are. We went to the tanks, have all gone.
How did you embark them on the boat? I mean, what?
The tanks had all gone, the vehicles gone. And we were at Tidworth.
So they were taken out separately?
Yes. And we had, the day we left, I remember when we had the valley at 3 o'clock, handed in bedding and so on, breakfasted, and marched down about 4 miles to Luggershall railway station, got on the train, and went to Southampton, where the trooper was a requisitioned German ship called the Empire Fowey.
Fowey?
F-O-W-E-Y, which had been a pre-war German luxury liner which used to take strength through joy parties on the trips. A very comfortable ship, over London and Southampton, and so what made for that day to bands playing, crowds raving, tears falling. And we went through the Med, through the canal, called in at Ceylon, and eventually arrived after just over 6 weeks in South Korea, the port of Busan.
What was the voyage like, Randall? I mean,
the voyage was very comfortable, really. We used to have muster parade in the morning, PT on deck, and during the day we would have lectures of various sorts, or do small arms training, firing over the stern of the ship at old cans and tins, and in the evening, drink and be merry. I personally used to play a lot of bridge those evenings. All in all, it was a very comfortable trip and a nice ship.
Now, you'd be going out, would this be November by the time you got to South Korea?
Yes.
And where did you land first out there?
We landed at Busan, which is the main town port in the south of Korea.
What were your first impressions of Busan when you landed there? Why?
First of all, as we approached the shore, dreadful smell, because there was no sanitation works in those days, and all the night soil, etc., as it was termed, was put out on the paddy fields surrounding the town. And a dreadful smell, which grew on one. And we pulled into Busan, and believe it or not, there was a dock strike. The dockers were on strike. And fellas said, well, the ship, or a ship, was there with our tanks in it. And the colonel said, well, if the dockers won't take them off, we will.
Who was the colonel? Do you remember?
At that stage, it was he didn't last very long. He was succeeded by Guy Lauber.
By who?
Guy Lauber, General Guy Lauber.
Perhaps it'll come to you. We'll, if he didn't stay long, it doesn't matter. So he said that you were going to do it.
Yes, and I and my fellows was detailed to take charge of one. Derek, and the tanks were in the bottom of the hold of the ship, and several feet above them was filled with bales and bales and bales of blankets. And throughout the night, we unloaded these bales of blankets. A great source of amusement, you know, falling all over the place and landing on the quay and so on. But, however, the dockers sitting around watching us had compassion, and the first night they started back to work and said they would unload the tanks just as well. And,
were they the local Korean dockers?
Yes. Yes. I mean, we couldn't talk to them except by sign language. None of us had an inkling of Korean or Japanese or Chinese. And they got the tanks off, and believe it or not, they all started.
How did they, I mean, was it lifting them out on derricks?
Or? Yes. We had two derricks, one fore and one aft, lifting them out, and swinging them over down onto the quay side.
Perhaps just as well then you didn't.
Oh, we couldn't have done it. And when they were off, we motored along the south coast of Korea to the west, to had been an old police barracks, and we settled in there.
Do you remember its name?
No, I think I don't. Wasn't a very nice place. It was extremely cold at this time, and there was was no running water. I can't remember what the rooms were like there, but they would have been pretty primitive, and with wooden huts. And while we were there, to get the date right, it was Thanksgiving time, and we were on American rations, and we were given a little turkey and everything for Thanksgiving Day. And, I can't remember what day, November 24th, something like that. Next to us, we could see Korean Army in the barracks, see them training on doing drill and that sort of thing. And,
what did they look like? Did they look like good troops or material? Or?
Well, the thing I remember is that the officers or instructors used to beat anybody who didn't come up to scratch. And I mean, really beat them, which horrified us. We were down there, so.
Were you doing anything?
Well, we were just degreasing the guns and so on, and of course they'd all been greased up for the voyage, and bombing our tanks up with ammunition, listening to the news with great interest, because at that time, things were going very well for MacArthur and the Americans. They were streaming up into North Korea. But rumors had it that the Chinese were about to come to the North Korean aid. Anyway, eventually, after two or three weeks, we were loaded onto flat trains and started to motor up to the north. Very cold.
This would be December then, would it?
Yes. We were travel on the open flats with the tanks, bitterly cold.
Would you be in the tank? I mean,
some might have got in, but they were not very nice things for travelling on trains. But, we did, in most cases, rig up the bivouac behind behind the tank on the flat. And we started a very slow journey up, going a few miles, stopping.
What was the terrain like that you were passing through?
Very, very, very hilly, even mountainous, with in the valleys, paddy fields everywhere, terraced.
It doesn't sound like you'd have been thinking this was good tank territory.
No, it wasn't. No. Seemingly not. Quite interesting. On the train, I went to the back where some Korean policemen or guards were, and they had a combustion stove going and were heating up dried meat and eating it. And they gave me some, which I ate. And then I asked them what meat it was, and they said it was dog, which turned my stomach slightly. Now, we got up, I think, to a place called Wee Bon John, something of that nature. It starts EU. I can't remember how it is spelled. Where we then offloaded it our tanks, and they continued by road. But I was taken off my tank and put as second in command of the A echelon, the lorries and so on.
Now, you were the regimental sergeant major this time, or we?
No, you were two squadrons on Navy.
Of which squadron? B squadron, and you were, that's right, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. And was it the A echelon of the whole regiment?
Yes, the whole regiment, yes. In fact, I'm wrong, we didn't unload the tanks there. I was taken off. The tanks continued up, and I was second in command to Captain Bollard, who was in charge of the echelon.
Now, what did the A echelon consist of?
Well, I should think something like 30, 40 three-ton lorries, they carried ammunition mainly, petrol. The quartermaster's stores lorry, the technical stores lorries, the four water carts, 100 squadron, four cook's trucks, and one or two wheel vehicles, scout cars, a radio, a gin palace as we called it in those days. And the tanks continued up north.
Now, what was the difference between the role of the A echelon and the B echelon?
Well, the A echelon was an A echelon for each squadron, and it consisted of about four ammunition lorries, two petrol lorries, might not be exact, but on that nature, one cook's truck, one water cart, and of course the medical officer had. He had new vehicles as well, I didn't mention that. And the air squadron job was the immediate supply of the tanks. I.e. they stayed a few miles behind the tanks and then in the evening came up and replenished the tank. The B squadron's job was to get the ammunition and supplies from the ordnance depots, which would be a lot further back.
Would it be a similar sort of size to the A echelon?
More in the B echelon, yes.
So they would funnel it up to sort of regimental supply depots, and then the A echelon would pick it up from there and take it to the...
That's right. Yeah.
And what was your role as company sergeant major of A echelon?
Of A echelon. Well, just to be sort of second in command to Captain Bonnet, we had this great long convoy, I suppose 3 or 4 miles long, and we had to take it up to meet the tanks. We were going up to the front, which was way up in North Korea, almost near the border at that time.
Sorry, the border of North Korea and China?
Yes. Now, well, if I can diverse for a slight bit there, tell you what happened to the tanks. The trains went up, and they got to the outskirts of Pyongyang, which was the capital of North Korea, and the Chinese had, by this time, crossed the border. Rumor had it that there were a million on their way. So everybody was slightly apprehensive. And the Americans were streaming down southwards.
Retreating?
Yes. And the train with the tanks got as far as Pyongyang, and the drivers deserted. And the regiment, they just swung the tank sideways, round on the flat, and came off. And formed up in the leaders and so on. And tried to find out what the situation was. Meanwhile, I was back with the echelon, and we motored up fairly slowly with this long convoy. I remember on one occasion we were fired upon from the side, and which caused a certain amount of panic the first time we'd been fired upon in Korea.
Any casualties?
No.
Was it sniping, or was it not artillery or mortar or anything?
On the way, we did see traces of the fighting that had gone on, and the Americans, and also the British 27th Brigade, who had been there for a year, had fought over that ground. There were quite a few Korean, North Korean, Russian-made T-34 tanks, burnt out, been knocked out. Quite a few bodies and skeletons around the place, then we bothered to bury. And we motored on a number of days, and we crossed the border into North Korea at the place where the peace talks had been made ever since, and I think it's still going on there. at Pendle John. And we went to a place called Case Hall, and we then got in touch with the regiment, who by this time were on their way back. And apart from a few.
They hadn't been in action then, they just downloaded it.
No, they'd gone north, but I don't think that they had met any enemy, that they were ordered to withdraw. They covered the withdrawal down that main road, down that sector. But at that stage, I don't think they had met. Pioneering was burning, the station was burning, the time they left, the trains were set on fire.
Who set fire to things? Was that us?
The
British,
yes, because of the withdrawal.
So it's a bit of a scorched earth policy.
Yes, and we got with the echelon. We got no further north than Case Hall, where eventually the tanks joined us. Now, from here on, events become a bit hazy, but I'll do my best. We then spread out and formed a line north of Sal and waited for the Chinese to come down. But further up the main road, say 30 miles to the north, we made up a composite force from the region of the wrecking troop and various light tanks and scout cars, rather than put the centurions on. And they were sort of the advanced guard. But after a few nights, the Chinese simply swarmed down everywhere. They were all cut off. I don't think any grain. Great many were killed, and the rest were put in the bag. And in turn, the regiment then started to withdraw further south into South Korea. the A squadron were on a peninsula just north of Seoul.
Now, were you still with the...
No, by this time I was back.
Back with A squadron.
Back with A squadron on my tank.
Sorry, can you say where A squadron were?
We were on a peninsula north of Seoul, and rumour had it that the Chinese were on the peninsula north of us. But in the evening, we were ordered to withdraw, and we did.
What sort of positions had you taken up? I mean, were you digging in and going hole down or...?
No, excuse me. Couldn't dig in because the ground was all frozen, really frozen. It was all really frozen. Very hard, no question, digging in at all. And we took our positions around the peninsula.
So would you just be sat on...
Yes,
sat there?
Sat.
Was it wooded or...?
Well, basically the whole place was wooded, but we would find places that were not wooded, paddy fields and so on, and tracks. I should mention that there were no hard surface roads in Korea in those days, only a few miles between Seoul and Incheon, and a few miles down in Busan. Between them, all over the country, it was just dirt tracks everywhere.
So you'd basically travel along the dirt tracks and then deploy in paddy fields. Would you crash through the woods or...?
You couldn't deploy in the paddy fields because they were too soft.
So around the edges?
Yes.
Could you go through the woods? I mean, were the tanks powerful enough to just drive through trees or...?
Well, we didn't do that. Through all the plantations and woods, that there were tracks we would find.
So these positions were on the edges of paddy fields, essentially.
Yes.
And nothing happened.
Well, at that stage we were told that the Chinese were coming down, and then we were told to withdraw immediately.
Did you have